no, I just can't do it. I said, after the book's out, I said, I have no idea what Jim's doing on it, but I said, I just don't feel right about doing it. And I don't think he's even gotten really, I wonder if he's really going to do it in the end.
I don't know. He's in there because, A, you know, they wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
But he's also in there because he was the head reporter for the Harney County thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful ranch over there.
Yeah.
I can't believe at his age he's doing that. Ooh.
I know. And being the editor of the little paper.
Yeah.
It's like, well, whatever.
I think he's just having fun with life. But anyway, you know, he keeps saying he's going to write it. And I know that Marla Ray sent him something.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what she sent him.
Yeah. So that brings us to one last point. I do have all of your Rajneesh stuff, which is cited as yours. Would you be willing to let me have that be officially scanned for the archive?
You can have it.
Okay.
What am I going to do with it, Jim?
Well, you said you wanted it because your parents, your
I
kids
know.
Said...
I know. My kids keep crying for it. Mom, well, what are they going to do with it?
I know. Okay.
Just say they got it. That's all they're going to do.
Yeah.
Dave Frohmeyer always said, I want all your stuff. I said, no, you can't have it.
Right.
He said, well, put it in your attic and don't tell anybody you got it.
Exactly.
But no, why would I...
Okay, because I have the whole thing scanned for myself, but...
As long as I know where it is, but...
Okay.
I'm getting,
come visit it.
I'm getting too old to even think about doing anything with it.
Yeah.
No way. If Les wants to do it, I've told Les that you have all my stuff.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I would love to get Les's take on things. And as you read this, actually the first maybe year or two are more heavy towards... media coverage stuff.
Because
it's things are happening, but, you know, whatever. But when the shit hits the fan, your stuff is it, because there is no other stuff.
Fans circulating in my office. Well,
yeah.
If you remember when they first came, it was utopia. Everybody was raving about they're going to take this not good land and turn it into all this wonderful...
Well, it's the stuff I'm writing. The economy has fallen apart, and here's these people with money. Good.
Oh, they're selling heavy equipment to them, and they are. Oregon is in love with the Rajneeshis.
Yeah. Let me read. Let me take a bit to get up here. The very last line of the 1982 election thing. Where is 1982? Running for governor, 82. There we go. So we got Vic has just won this amazing victory. Isn't that nice that Vic wins victories? All these things. The ding-dong that you guys didn't hire to be the...
Yeah.
He was already in Taxpayers United.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, indeed.
You mean our drunkard friend?
Your drunkard friend. Exactly. Danny let me have his little graph. Oh. That's nice. Okay, so here we go. So the last two paragraphs. Vic Atiyo won a record-breaking victory over Ted Kulongoski. He now had political capital, the backing of the electorate to push through policies upon which he had run his campaign. Atiyo wanted to revisit tax reform, going back to ideas to straighten out the property tax system by shifting the tax burden to the income tax, he said. It's like, he also stressed the need to bolster Oregon's higher education system and the effort to trumpet Oregon's open arms to newcomers, especially industry. So it's kind of thin. Two big policy pushes would mark Atiyo's second term. The first would be tax reform, but not quite the way he phrased it in the days after the election. This effort, as with many other attempts by popular governors, McCall, would not succeed. The second, diversifying Oregon's economy, would open the doors of Oregon to the world economy in ways not understood or anticipated at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Atiyo would accelerate Oregon's stature in the high-tech industry, and he would lead a very public, but small, tax revolt that would revolutionize Oregon's economy, the unitary tax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was that group out in the central Oregon wearing the reddish colors of the sun. The Rajneeshis would play a major role in Tia's second term.
And they did.
And they did. But it's just, that's why I was asking you
that
about
sounds really
the,
good.
The tax stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he wins and he says, well, great, let's do what I haven't been able to get through before and they're not going to pass again. Really? So.
Well, you know, and what amazes me, and I don't even want to get into it again, but what amazes me is he had all the resources at his fingertips. He could have called in, like, Richmond, some of his economic advisors.
Exactly. You got a brain trust.
Yeah. Let's sit down. Here's what I want to achieve. See,
yeah.
That's where I would get so itchy.
Yeah.
And there were times when I would almost do it myself and think, no, I'm overstepping my bounds. But he had all the resources.
He had the resources, and because he started doing payrolls when he was 21 years old,
mm-hmm.
which is right, you don't have the tax one, but the fascinating thing is that's exactly when the income tax became withholding.
Really?
So he's there as that shift is, he sees it in his own paychecks, all of a sudden.
Yeah, whoops.
Wow, mm-hmm. it's small, and then he's the guy doing the payroll,
mm-hmm.
so he's seeing this stuff.
And has
and
a good understanding of taxes.
A good understanding. He's a businessman in downtown Portland. He sees the horrible ravaging of our property tax system because of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And then he sees the 25-year process to basically get it onto some kind of footing, which then spawns the property tax rebellion because my taxes got so much bigger. It's like, yeah, well, because we're actually taxing them now. He sees all that, and yet he never says, oh, I've got political capital. Let's take this thing and shake it by its neck and say, what would be the ideal way in which to run?
And he really could have.
He absolutely could have.
He carried the credibility, the trust.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he had political capital at the time, but my gosh, he had all these other things. People believed in him. They loved him.
Yeah.
And
yeah. He had all of that. It's just like Kitzhaber, you know, going for his fourth term. It's like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And then, like, well, people don't like a sales tax. It's like, there's other things!
That's right.
And, you know, have behind-the-scenes stuff like you did in the tax thing.
Yeah.
You've got great stuff where you guys have the invite the kind of big muckety-mucks all to show up and put their ideas. And one of them is, I know, we'll have Victor O for Oregon. Which doesn't get any votes, oddly enough.
No.
But, you know, but do that stuff.
Well, why not use what you got?
Yes.
And they were all there. I mean, he didn't have anybody dragging feet. That's the thing that amazed me. It wasn't trying to pull somebody
in.
People would have jumped to
Absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
They would have sat down and said, let's go.
Let's go. And a mix of industry, the Richmonds of the world, academia.
They all loved him. Academia loved him.
Fly! Go! Yeah. Do it! And it's just not...
I wish we could do it over.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Just like the unitary tax. I mean, why didn't he jump on that?
Yeah.
Dragging
and then
his
he
feet.
Does it, and it's like the most satisfying thing in his entire governorship.
Oh, he was thrilled when he picked the phone up and called Morita and said, we did it.
Yeah.
And then he turns to me and he says, now they really trust me. Yeah.
Yeah. You betcha. And in that chapter and looking at it, you know, and coming in first on that makes a difference.
That's right.
If you come in second, Oregon, whatever.
Oh, now I'm getting so frustrated, Jim. So frustrated.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But you look at that and there's no way to know, but one of my first questions to you was, did he have a kitchen cabinet? And he didn't.
Mm.
It was his own self.
Mm-mm.
And... You know, is there anybody who could have played that role? I doubt it by the time, because he was set in his ways by the time he became governor.
Yeah.
And it had worked so well for him in the legislature.
Well, and that probably, I think you maybe have made a good point. He felt good about what he had done in the legislature.
Yeah.
He felt good about the relationships he had. He felt good what he had accomplished, and why not keep right on doing it?
Yeah, and that's the Richmond that he was a super legislator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
And breaking out of that... Rich saw that he broke out of that, like with the tax reform thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard, you know, he always said, I know more about this in the legislature. It's like, they're another branch. Mm-hmm. You can lobby.
That's right.
But you're not there.
I even asked myself, if I'd been more of a Lee Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Could I have convinced him? But I don't think I could have.
Mm-mm.
I really don't think I could have.
Mm-mm.
He was either done, or he was too focused on what he was doing and enjoying and didn't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
It's too bad. Because he would have had, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
He literally could have redone the whole tax plan.
Yeah, and we needed a redone tax plan since approximately 1928.
Oh, God, I know it. And you know, Rich Munn would have been right there beside him.
Oh, yeah.
All the way.
Yeah.
They worked so well together.
Yeah. And Rich then would have been the institution to keep it going.
That's right.
After he left office.
That's right. Well, did Lon keep you in stitches laughing?
Yeah. We had a good time.
Did you meet him at his house?
Yeah, met him at his house. he was, it's actually the longest interview I've ever had.
Yeah.
And lots of things that were going neither here nor there.
I know.
But, it was very good.
Good.
Very good.
Did you meet his wife?
Yeah, briefly. He first told me I had to sit looking in a particular direction so I wouldn't see her naked in the hallway.
Oh, Lon!
And then afterwards, after a while, she came out and he said, well, I have Jim sitting like this, so he wouldn't see you naked in the hallway. Go, what are you going to see?
He was so close to Victor.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, both Vic and Denny talk about Victor as a father.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, Lon was with him. My God, the hours that Lon put in were incredible.
Yeah.
Always right beside the governor.
Yeah. One question I asked him is, so did the governor ever get away from you? I was thinking of that time in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't on that trip.
No.
When I told him, he's like, oh.
Yeah, Lon would not have let that happen.
Yeah. And knowing, for instance, that, the governor trusted him and lived with him and did all that stuff. But the governor, there was a wall there. So Lon had no clue until I told him about the no negotiation.
Oh, really?
Pledge. Those kinds of things
mm-hmm.
in there, which I would tell my security man that. But that's
but
neither
I don't
here
think,
or there.
Yeah, but I don't think he anticipated Lon being on any of those trips.
But he was on the one where you got you to sign the pledge.
Yes.
And
yes,
so
was.
That's interesting to me. But Lon just talking about being the one, because he was the aide security. He wasn't really security. And Victor was so funny. He's like, well, I don't know why all these people running around, they got motorcades for Goldschmidt and all this. It's like, well, it's because Lon said to the Secret Service, how do we do this? And they said, get motorcades.
Yeah.
Victor never understood that.
No, Victor wanted to take taxi cabs from the hotel to the White House. Jeez,
exactly.
Louise.
Exactly. but, so Lon's there, and Victor would get in the car and say, so, how do you read the room?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Lon said his main thing that he'd say to make the governor smile was, fuck him and feed him dog food.
I've never heard that one, but I believe Lon would say that, too.
He said it like that once on tape, and he also said fornicate him and feed him dog food.
I believe Lon was always very cautious around me.
Yeah. Yep.
But I loved Lon. I really did. He was just a peach.
Yeah. It's amazing giving up your own life.
And he really did.
Yeah.
He talked
about that, his wife raised the kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, I'll never forget John Williams, who I loved. I loved John Williams. But when I went to him and said, you guys got to give him some relief.
Yeah.
He just can't. This governor's going to burn him out completely, and he's not going to have any family left. Nope, no money in the budget. I just didn't have any sympathy whatsoever. Of course, this is the same superintendent of state police that didn't like women being on the force, and we got complaints that the other guys were putting rats in their lockers and doing other kinds of naughty things.
At least he wasn't flying in alcohol from Oklahoma.
You can see how things go so haywire in Washington, D.C. Can you imagine all those yahoos running around?
I know.
They're all going to do something.
Exactly. I got power. I got a plane.
Yeah.
Let's make this work. One thing that will be in about Victor, because Victor did get away from Juan a couple of times. Juan would get a call from the command post saying, well, he left.
Yeah.
He's back with a Christmas tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Great. They got a Christmas tree. But the night that Tom McCall died, Audrey called.
Mm-hmm.
And Victor jumped in the car and drove up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah.
And then did you ever get the story, though, when he was first elected and he was driving into the underground parking at the Capitol building and he hit a bicyclist?
Oh, no. Oh, well, there you go.
I think it was in the paper.
Uh-huh. I'll look for that.
I don't know that he... I know he was at the Capitol building, but I'm not sure he had been... I don't remember well enough whether he'd been sworn in yet or not.
Right, because he had his own little weird office for governor-elect.
And
stationery that said governor-elect. That's, I got a picture of that in there in the chapter.
Anyway, he'd been told he should not be driving, and no way, he wasn't going to give up his driving.
Right.
That incident
made
him give it up.
Yeah.
It's got to be in the paper somewhere.
Yeah, I'll look.
Yeah,
he
did.
I got the Salem papers name.
I'm sure it was either pedestrian or bicyclist, but I think it was a bicyclist.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine in the beginning? And then Suzanne, when he was first elected, she would call and send the state police, I'm at Fred Meyer and there's somebody following me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm at Ryan Franks and there's somebody following me. Paranoid as could be.
Yeah. Yep. Great.
Well, Jim, you're really making headway.
You're working on it. Great.
Well,